Turning now to the world of film, and hackers who last week targeted Sony Pictures with damaging email leaks are now threatening to attack cinemas showing the studio's latest film called The Interview. The hackers posted a message online warning people to stay away from screenings of the film, a comedy about a plot to kill the, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The film's producers, Seth Rogen, Rogen, turn his microphone on, and James Franco have cancelled all media appearances for The Interview. Following the threat, and now in a rare move, Sony executives are calling for the finished film to be edited again before it hits the cinemas. Joining me now is Jason DeRosso from The Final Cut. Jason, good morning.
G'day.
Are we real? Seriously?
Well, this is really serious now. It's developed overnight. Five of the biggest theatre chains, and we're talking about the exhibitors who run the cinemas in the US, have dropped The Interview from their lineups.
Oh.
Because, you know, they're concerned, as you mentioned, there has been this threat made just in the last couple of days, and promising 9/11 style damage, whatever that could mean in the context of
by the North Koreans.
No, we don't know
by
who
Pyongyang.
We don't know who they are. We don't know who these hackers are. And this obviously comes, as you mentioned, within the context of a much bigger hack, which saw all these leaked emails. I mean, I think it's something like 100 terabytes of data released online.
What are you talking about?
Talking about employment details, medical records of employees, currently in release or upcoming Sony films were also leaked online. So there's been this huge security breach, and amongst all of this...
So is there a threat to moviegoers? Is that why they've done this?
Well, exhibitors are worried that there is a threat to moviegoers. They're also worried, obviously, that there's a threat to their bottom line. If people are a little bit afraid that the multiplex they want to go and see any film in is also showing The Interview, which is the name of this film, and that carries this threat, it's likely that they won't want to go out to the multiplex. And of course, Boxing Day, Christmas Day in the US and here as well is one of the most lucrative periods for exhibitors. So this is the problem.
So they might have movies about freedom and justice and standing up for your principles in the American way, but when it actually comes to doing it, it's off the screen, not so much.
Well, you know, no one knows just to what degree these anonymous hackers actually represent a real threat, I guess. But let's hear a little bit of the film. This is a film starring Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Are we safe to do so?
I'm pretty sure we're safe to do so. It is a film about the plot to assassinate the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un.
Hello, who this?
This is the Secretary of Communication for North Korea. Our Supreme Leader, Kim Jong-un, is interested in doing an interview with Dave Skylark.
Oh my God.
We will meet 50 kilometers west of Dangdong, northeastern China.
Did you just say China? And did you just say Dong?
Mr. Rappaport, I'm Agent Lacey with Central Intelligence. You two are going to be in a room alone with Kim. And the CIA would love it if you could take him out. Take him out.
For coffee?
Dinner.
For kimchi?
No, take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay, so Sony executives want to tone down the film.
Notwithstanding,
the First Amendment, is that an unusual move?
Well, you know, it is an unusual move. Sony Pictures Entertainment are just one branch of the Sony organisation. And what's unusual about this is that over the Northern Hemisphere summer, and this is part of what emerged in these email links, the actual chief executive of Sony, the Japanese chief executive, Kazuo Hirai, actually broke with a 25-year tradition and intervened directly into particularly the scene that depicts Kim Jong-un's demise. And we're talking about all sorts of very detailed emails about to what degree they wanted to tone down and remove images of flaming hair and chunks of skull and so forth. So they've been worried about this since the middle of the year.
For reasons of taste?
Well, for reasons of upsetting the North Koreans as well. But they, of course, had no idea that this now anonymous threat would emerge. And, of course, you know, there is history of films being threatened and being picketed. And, you only have to look back to Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ back in 88, when fundamentalist Christians protested heavily over the film. One chain actually pulled the film back then in the US. And there was actually a pretty awful terrorist attack from French Christian fundamentalists in Paris, where they threw Molotov cocktails at the Saint-Michel cinema in Paris, and, you know, gravely wounded about four people there with burns. So, you know, but you do wonder, I mean, if if cyber attacks had been around back when Chaplin made The Great Dictator, would we have ever seen that film release in cinemas?
It is, but it's also an interesting question, isn't it, about what you do about freedom of speech and whether or not the freedom to be silly and show a North Korean leader in what is probably an undergraduate film with his hair on fire is as important as being able to broadcast without fear or favour, you know?
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, who can tell what offends and who is offended by what and for what reason? Mm. I mean, this may not actually be about taking offence. It may just be about wanting to damage Sony in some way. I mean, there is a history in recent times of them being the target of hackers. So, and that was with their PlayStation Network.
For those of us who can dare to go to the multiplex, what should we see? What were the good films we've missed in 2014?
The good films we missed were, we missed a lot of Australian ones by all accounts,
yeah,
because
okay.
the box office wasn't great. And there were films like The Babadook by Jennifer Kent, a great first feature about a horror film in a way, but also an allegory about motherhood, about a single mum and her child who receives what the mother believes is a haunted bedtime storybook. That did nothing here. And then in the UK, did more business in the first weekend in the UK than it did in the whole theatrical series season here.
So dig up The Babadook, you reckon?
Dig up The Babadook for a DVD. I mean, next week we'll talk about what's coming out Boxing Day, but in terms of, great DVDs to get out that you may have missed in the cinema, Australian DVDs, The Predestination is another great one, a great time-travelling, gender-bending, strange film from Australia's Brisbane-based Sperrig brothers. You might remember their film Daybreakers, which was about vampires, that came out a few years ago. Predestination was great. Ethan Hawke starring in that one. But it's been a really good year for film. I mean, I loved Snowpiercer, which was a South Korean film, the first film made by a South Korean film made in the US. And that starred Tilda Swinton and all sorts of sort of A-list actors. John Hurt was in there. And it was a post-apocalyptic film set in a future ice age aboard a train that was kind of an allegory for a kind of dystopian fascist future society. Oh. Absolutely superb piece of science fiction. Boyhood was my film of the year.
What was Boyhood?
Boyhood was the film that was shot over 12 years. Patricia Arquette was in it. Ethan Hawke was in it.
Oh.
Richard Linklater's film. Shot over 12 years with a mix of non-professional and professional actors. Richard Linklater would reunite them all for a few weeks each year and just film the next part of the story.
So that you didn't have the clunky thing where you have that one sequence where you go from the child actor to the grown-up actor. Is that what that is avoiding?
Well, kind of, yeah. But so what you see over these 2 hours are these actors growing and evolving physically in real time, as it were.
Wow.
I mean, it was quite an extraordinary thing. So I thought that was beautiful. It kind of reminded me a bit of Michael Apted's 7-Up series.
Yeah,
it was
right.
That sort of similar sort of feeling watching that, only it was all condensed to this sort of 2-hour film. I thought it was really quite remarkable. But, you know, there's one of my favourite films is still in release at the moment. That's Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, about a nightcrawler, an ambulance chaser, a freelance videographer who's also a sociopath, who starts to make waves in the world of the LA-based freelance videographer scene, where basically he goes to all the most gruesome crime scenes in LA and gets the first footage to then sell on to the 24-hour news networks, which in a way relates to your previous discussion about how news is just such a hungry beast these days. And so, wonderful film about the sort of cynicism behind America's news. And an interesting small film that people might have missed, set in Kurdistan on the Turkish border, called My Sweet Pepperland, a wonderful kind of romance, funnily enough. But also, given what's happening in that small town of Kobani with the resistance that's against ISIS, that those people in that town are currently involved in, a successful kind of resistance, there is a reference to female Kurdish militias in the film.
Right.
That run around the film like kind of these mysterious ninja bandits, which is, I think, quite poignant to sort of, it's quite a poignant film to revisit, I think, set in that part of the world.
Terrific. Some great ideas for DVDs, and we'll talk to you next week, is it?
Indeed.
About what to see on Boxing Day. Thanks very much, Jason.
Jason
DeRossi from The Final Cut tonight at 9:45 here on RN. And if you want to hear a wrap-up of the year in film, tune into The List tomorrow afternoon from 5:30. Jason will join Cassie McCullough.